keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands.
Well, all right. Welcome back to the program. One of the folks that has gotten a lot of attention over the last few years for movies and books and taking on the elite liberal establishment, including Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, straightforward in his confrontation, has been Dinesh D'Souza, the author, born in Bombay, India, moved here, lives in California. I don't know how he does that, but he does. Went to Dartmouth. Where he got his bachelor's degree from Dartmouth. He's been with us before, but he has a new book, The Big Lie, an explosive new book from D'Souza, author of several best-selling books, including Hillary's America, Obama's America, as you know, a critic of all these books, and actually found himself, strangely, on the other side of the law at one point for some minor mistake in a donation to a political campaign. He joins me now. To talk more about all of these things, Dinesh D'Souza, welcome back to the program.
Hey, it's good to be on the show.
Glad to have you here. Leading up to the November election, here's where I'd like to start. You were warning America that electing Hillary Clinton would lead to some very specific things in America, things that none of us, you and I certainly, didn't want to see. And then she didn't win. And yet today we still see this pushback, this fight, this attacking Trump all of the time. And trying to label him and saddle him and delegitimize him. Obviously, you had to kind of change your approach to the commentary as to where we're headed. But tell me about some of the things you're seeing right now and about the new book, The Big Lie.
Well, normally, you know, in American politics, the side that loses the election becomes grumpy for a while, but then accommodates to it, essentially begins to mount a Democratic opposition. That's what happened with the right and Obama. None of us were happy about his re-election, but we lived with it. Now, I haven't seen a major political party in America essentially reject the result of a lawful election. I don't think this has happened since 1860, when the Democrats basically tried secession as a solution to Lincoln's election. And with Trump, the justification for their remarkable behavior, I mean, you have to recognize how remarkable their behavior is. If we had, for example, if Republicans had said, we're not going to go to Obama's inauguration, if we unleashed squadrons of armed and masked thugs to disrupt the inauguration, smash windows, overturn cars, set them on fire, block speakers from campus, I mean, the media would be apoplectic. But the reason they're doing this is that they say, Trump is a fascist. And the Republican Party is kind of the new incarnation of Nazi Party.
You know, it's just cute. Considering, you know, and I watch these things, and I know you're a focus of some of this anger in places like Berkeley, California, where conservative speakers are routinely attacked, bricks thrown, fires set. I mean, this is the very conduct of fascists calling the other side fascist. It's bizarre. These people don't even know what they're talking about.
Well, that's it. But they're using the charge of fascism to justify their behavior. You're absolutely right. They dress like fascists, they talk like fascists, and they act like fascists. But they're marching under the banner of anti-fascism. So my point is, when we look at history and when we look at the meaning of fascism has always been on the political left. Mussolini was the most famous Marxist in Italy when he founded the fascist party, the first fascist party, and the first fascist regime. When Mussolini came to power, Lenin sent a telegram of congratulations because he recognized Mussolini as a fellow revolutionary of the left. Hitler was a National Socialist. That was the name of the Nazi Party, the National Socialist German Workers' Party. So somehow all of this has gotten camouflaged, and the left pretends as if fascism is a right-wing phenomenon, whereas it's always been a left-wing phenomenon.
Let me ask you this, Dinesh. How did we get there? I mean, we have access, we being conservatives, we being on the right, we have access to public relations groups and marketing groups and books and authors and outlets. How is it that the left seems to consistently rewrite history to say we are the champions of civil rights when we know They're the party that defended slavery and went to war over it. You know, we are the champions of the Civil Rights Movement when we know it was Republicans that pushed it through the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s. We know it was Republicans, you know, that did all of these things, you know, to make Americans more equal than they've been in the past. You know, the Democrats claim this mantle, which is false on every front. I mean, we have smartphones in our pockets where we can do research and read history. And yet it seems to me young people in the world today tend to look at Facebook and Twitter and say, oh, well, the Republicans are bad, so I'll just believe that. It's baffling to me.
Yeah, I mean, I started this book and I called it The Big Lie. The Big Lie is a term from Hitler, but I called it The Big Lie because I began to puzzle about how is it that intelligent people can, quote, know something that actually isn't true? In other words, how do you sell a big lie? And the answer is, in this case, and it's just as true with the race card as it is of the fascism card, that the left began to establish a really dominant position in through the 50s and 60s in academia, Hollywood, and the media. Before that, all these three institutions were somewhat diverse. And so, for example, in early Hollywood, you could be a Reagan or you could be a John Wayne, and you'd fit right into Hollywood. But today, if you're out of sync with the prevailing ideology, they'll get rid of you. They'll push you out. You won't get movie roles. You'll be a pariah. So what's happened is, when you dominate the three big megaphones of our culture, you can sell a lot of big lies. And the left, although they knew that they were in bed with fascism in the 30s, FDR was a big fan of Mussolini, and it was a mutual admiration society. But after the war, once fascism became stained with the odor of Holocaust, the progressives said, oh, well, we don't want this exactly to be in the textbooks. We're going to try to move fascism from the left-wing column, where it's always belonged, into the right-wing column, because we can now use it as a truncheon against our political adversaries.
So we can attack them. You know, the little note you made about FDR loving Mussolini, see, that's new information to me, and I read all the time. I didn't realize that before the beginning of World War II that there was this admiration that you just discussed.
Well, let me give you a bombshell, if I may. Hitler got three of his most vicious genocidal ideas by his own acknowledgement directly from the Democratic Party or from American progressives. And I'll give a single example. The Nazis, who were drafting the Nuremberg Laws were the laws that made Jews into second-class citizens. They forbade intermarriage between Jews and other Germans. They confiscated Jewish property. They segregated Jews into ghettos. Well, the Nazis who drafted that laws were sitting around the table, and we have the transcripts of their meeting, and they were saying, this is great. We're starting the world's first racist state. And then one of the Nazis who had studied in America, he goes, wait a minute, guys, listen, we are not the first guys to do this. The Democrats in the American South have beaten us to the punch. They already have all these laws. They already outlaw intermarriage between blacks and whites. They already segregate. They already discriminate. They also have a racial terrorist group, the Ku Klux Klan. So all we have to do is take their laws, cross out the word black, write in the word Jew, and we're home free. And so the point I'm trying to make is that there is historical evidence, uncontested, that the Nazis actually were looking at the blueprint of democratic laws in America and used them as the basis for the notorious Nuremberg Laws.
And you have transcripts for that, which is fascinating. On the phone with us is Dinesh D'Souza. Quick break now. We're talking about the big lie. We're going to take a quick commercial break here with Dinesh D'Souza. We'll be back right after this on The Steve Rivers Show.